So my story starts when my husband, who was in shipping, we all moved to Charleston, South Carolina in the late, well, I think it was 96. I had two very young girls. They were 2 and 5 at the time. I was starting over, basically, you know, had never lived outside of Baltimore. I was from here, big family here. So we moved to Charleston. It was quite a culture shock. It not only was it all new, I didn't know anyone. It's like moving back into the 1950s. Charleston was kind of not like it is today. The lights blinked downtown in the winter because there was no traffic. The only grocery store was the Piggly Wiggly. You could only get, the only kind of lettuce was iceberg lettuce. And that alone was a shock for me. But I got to say, I was very lonely. I didn't know anyone. And the people that I was beginning to meet weren't really going to be my friends, I could tell, because they're going to have me for dinner. So I remember the first social outing my husband and I had. It was a shipping company, and there were other couples at this dinner. It was at a restaurant, and they had names that were after the streets in Charleston, Maybank Highway. The Maybanks were there. Ravenel Bridge, the Ravenels were there, Cummins Street. So anyway, there was one woman in particular I could tell was kind of trying to figure me out, and she was asking a lot of questions, and she said, "So where do you live?" And I said, "Well, on Gibbs Street," and Charleston's like the size of Towson. It's very small. She said, "Gibbs Street? Well, that's South Abroad." I'm like, "Yeah, it's South Abroad geographically," but I knew what she meant. It was really where old Charlestonians lived. It was, you know. So she starts like, "Well, what unit block of Gibbs Street are you on?" So, of course, the houses change a little bit in size. So, you know, I am sarcastic. So I just said, "Look, it's the smallest house on the street, and we rent." Well, she didn't bat an eye. She goes, "Well, I guess you can put kittens in the oven, doesn't make them biscuits." And, like, I laughed at first because I always have a delayed reaction until I realized the insult I was given. But this is my welcome to Charleston. And, it was all about who is your daddy, you know, their heritage, their ancestry. It was very small. What at the time, there was a Supreme Court battle going on about the Citadel, which was the crown jewel of Charleston. This is a military college that half of the, you know, old Charlestonians went to, you know, going back for God knows how long. And this battle, this woman, Shannon Faulkner, was suing the college to allow women to attend. And, you know, I was like, "Well, yeah." But everybody there was like, "That is ludicrous, a woman to attend the college." And, you know, all of this just, I felt so isolated by, there was no one I could commiserate with. They revered their reenactors. They had Civil War reenactions like every other weekend. It was like, why you would want to reenact a war you lost, I have no idea, but they were very proud of that. So they had that going on. And I mean no disrespect, because I had this love-hate relationship with Charleston. But this Citadel piece, I can remember I had a friend come down, Kathleen Cahill. She's a civil rights attorney from Baltimore. So she comes down to visit us, and my husband, who has a little bit of a twisted sense of humor, decides to take her to a Citadel football game. And unbeknownst to me or her, he sits her next to a third-generation Citadel alum. And you have to understand, at the time, the Post and Courier, the paper, the newspaper, like what paper? The paper, Lauren. I'm like this. So the headlines every day were, you know, the Supreme Court battle going on. So he decides to sit Kathleen next to a third generation Citadel alum. I don't know it, but I do realize during the game, it's a beautiful day, we're having fun, but that conversation's starting to get kind of lively. You know, a couple on the other side of my husband. But in the meantime, that's getting a little louder. Halftime's coming up, and two things converge at the same time. It was insane. All of a sudden, hear Kathleen go, "Well, sir, there is no way the Supreme Court cannot allow women in the Citadel. It's the law." And he goes, "You can take your," he stands up and goes, "You can take your Yankee ass and your Yankee values back up north where they belong." And with that, right behind us, the entire row starts cheering. And on top of that, I see in the field Shannon Faulkner, the plaintiff for the suing the Citadel, being burned in effigy on the field. I'm serious. It was kind of terrifying. And we thought it might be a good time to leave. And so we left. But again, you know, at the time I was actually a little nervous at the time, but then I became furious. I became so angry. I had two little girls that I was like, if they want to go to military school, God, I hope they never do. But if they did, they should be allowed to go. I came of age during the 70s, feminism, that kind of thing. And I saw my mom with seven kids. She was so talented, but could never have, expressed herself with it because of that. Anyway, I just saw the injustice in it. And, you know, the far-reaching injustice of it. So, you know, I'm riding downtown, and I see these women in these hoop skirts. They call the Daughters of the Confederacy, and they're in front of this building. And you have to be, you know, your lineage to be in this. And then I'd see the reenactors, you know, walking around downtown, because you'd always see them. And I'm like, you know what? One of the most blasphemous things I could do is to put women in Confederate uniforms. And I decided to do it. I didn't know how, but I decided to just, you know, you have to understand, some people wouldn't understand how sacrilegious that is in Charleston. But at the time, it definitely, well, probably even now, might be a little bit. So anyway, I wound up putting an ad. I needed to get the women because I really didn't know anybody, and I did shoot for a magazine called Skirt, kind of a progressive local women's magazine. And I said, can I put like an ad to get some women? And I put myself, I did a self-portrait of me in a Confederate uniform. And I said, looking for a few good women. Athletic in spirit, rebellious in spirit, athletic in stature for a photo shoot I wanted to do. I was going to do a protest photo shoot. It was evolving like a train that I couldn't stop. And everything opened up. I was able to get these, the expensive, very expensive Confederate uniforms from a theater company that did North and South. I bartered for them. I worked quite a while after that, but I wanted 12 women on this battery gas, on this battered wall. So I put the, you know, I it was a big undertaking. And I wound up putting this ad in. I got a great response. I got, you know, actually about 100 responses. I picked 12 women based on the strength of their faces, their jaws. I just wanted to show the imagery of strength. And they came to my house. I lived on Sullivan's Island. We got them all dressed. We had racks of Confederate uniforms. We went and did the shoot. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, meeting these women, too, were probably the first women I had met that kind of thought like I did. So we do the shoot. I decide to do an exhibit at a place downtown Charleston called the Roxy Theater. It's not there anymore, but it's kind of like the Charles here. And I have this, I decided to call it Local Hero Exhibit. And I have, you know, we have the exhibit, and like hundreds of people showed up. It was amazing. Because I was like a virtual nobody, unknown, you know, I couldn't believe this many people showed up for this. And they got it. They got what the image was about. And I found my tribe. And like I wasn't lonely anymore. And it was just like I fell in love with Charleston. Thanks.